As we get into tonight's lesson, the title of this lesson, of course, automatically takes us back to the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." But then that takes our minds, obviously, or it should take our minds to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, where John says, "We love him because he first loved us." We loved him. We love him because he first loved us. Now, I'll be honest with you. For many years, I struggled with this verse. And I struggled with this verse because the way I saw this was, I thought John was saying that the reason why we love God is because he loved us first, therefore we have to love him. You know, it's kind of like in the situation where I've done some marriage counseling, and I had years ago, I had a husband and wife come in who were separated at that point. We were trying to figure out a way to repair that relationship. And I asked the wife, I said, "Why do you love your husband?" And she said, "Well, to be honest with you, when we were in college, he was the only guy that showed me any attention. And he was the only person that I thought would love me." She said, "I really didn't think anybody else would love me, so I decided I was going to love him because I didn't think anyone else would have me." And I thought when she said that, I thought, how sad that is. And yet, how many people in their relationship with God have that same mindset? Well, I just love God because he loves me, and nobody else, you know, would love me. God's got to love me, therefore I love God. And yet, if you look at this passage, that is not what John is saying. John isn't saying that we love God only because he loved us first. But instead, I've come to realize that he is saying that we are able to love because God loved us first. We have the ability to love because of the love that God has first shown to us. And as you look at 1 John chapter 4, which is going to be our text tonight, this chapter is really all about how this works. How are we able to truly love? How are we able to know what love is? How do we understand it? And how does it all work? How does that process work? This is really a practical chapter on how we love. And so tonight we want to look at four specific things that God's love allows us to do. Because God first loved us, there are four specific things that we are able to do in understanding and knowing love. The first one is that because he first loved me, I know the source of love. You know, everything has a source, doesn't it? Everything in life has a source. Tonight, we are sitting in an auditorium that is air-conditioned and has lights. And the reality is we have those things because this building is plugged into a power source. If that power source were cut off, what would happen to the air conditioning? It would go out, wouldn't it? What would happen to the lights? They would go out. Now, we would probably sit here without lights. I'm not sure if we'd sit here without air conditioning. I'm not sure how dedicated we would be when it comes to that. But nonetheless, we're here in this comfortable setting because this building is connected to a power source. This building also has running water. And that water's in the kitchen and the restrooms and the water fountains. And we utilize that. But it is available to us because it is connected to a water source. Everything in life has a source. And so, in order for me to be able to love, I have to be connected to the source of love, don't I? I can't love as God's intended me to love unless I have access to the source of love. Let's look at verses 7 through 10. Verses 7 through 10. I'm having trouble with this little clicker here, but we'll figure it out. Starting in verse 7, John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, the source of our love is not ourselves. The source of love is God himself. He is the ultimate source. And it's not that he has love or that he does love, but instead it is that love is in fact defined by the very nature of God. It is love is defined by his very nature because God is love. And because God is love, nothing you have done or could ever do could ever make God love you more or less than he does right now. Nothing will change the love that God has for you right now, no matter what you do in your life, no matter what choices you make. Now, whether or not you have access to God's love is ultimately dependent on your actions. But God's love is there. It is extended to you. You know, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16 tells us that God hates divorce. But I want you to know tonight that if you've been through divorce, God still loves you. That hasn't changed. The truth is, scriptures tell us that God is truth and God hates lies. But tonight, if you've lied, God will still love you. If you've hurt someone with harsh words, God will still love you. If you've cheated on your taxes, God will still love you. If you've had an abortion, God will still love you. If you've been unfaithful to a spouse, God will still love you. You see, nothing we can do will change God's love because love is the very essence of God. It can't be changed because it is who God is. And because it's who God is, his love for us will not change. Now again, whether or not we have access to the benefit of that love is dependent upon our actions and what we choose to do. You know, we have three boys, and in our house we have certain rules. And in order for them to live in our house and to be a part of our family, they have certain rules that they have to follow. And I have been told that I'm rather harsh, but the reality is that this is how I was raised, and this is the way I function, is if you don't follow the rules of my house, you will not live in my house. It's that simple. You know, if you do not attend worship services, that's one of our rules, you will attend to worship services. If you don't attend worship services, you won't be in my home. That's just the reality. You won't bring alcohol into my home. That's another rule. You know, they may be 25 years old, and if they need a home to live in, they can live in my home, but they're still going to have to follow my rules. And if they don't follow my rules, it's not my fault they're not living in my home. Whose fault is it? It's theirs, because they choose not to follow my rules. That's their choice. But even though they may be living outside of my home because they choose not to follow my rules, does that have anything to do with the love that I have for them? Absolutely not. I still love them. I love them with all my heart. But they may not receive the benefits of that love because of the choice that they make. That's ultimately their choice. But my love is there. My love is extended to them regardless. God is that way, and even more so, because God is the very essence of love. And so we may choose not to receive the benefits of God's love because we may choose not to obey him and to follow his rules. And therefore, we may not receive the benefits of his love, and yet his love is extended to us because God is the very source of love. And so we have to really ask the question then, if that's the case, how do we love as God loves? How do we do that? How can I love in the way God loves? Because after all, I am not love. Love is something that I do, but I am not love as God is. So how do I love in that way? Well, we have to go back to the source. How many oak trees do you know that bear apples? Anybody have an oak tree that bears apples? Of course not. Why wouldn't an oak tree bear apples? Because the makeup of an oak tree does not have what it takes to produce apples. What kind of tree is going to produce apples? An apple tree. You know, a pineapple plant is not going to produce apples because the makeup of that pineapple plant, there's not the source there to produce apples. The apples are only going to come from an apple tree. In like manner, you can only produce godly love by letting God's love flow through you because he is the very source of love. So how do I love as God loves? I allow his love to flow through my life. I allow him to be the source of everything in my life. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, and I think that is an error there. It says 15 and 15, but it's John 15 and verse 5. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." In other words, Jesus says, who is the source of all that we do that is good? Him. He is the source. He's the vine. He is the one that provides the nutrients. He's the one that provides all that we need for anything that we produce that is good. And so in like manner, in order for me to have a relationship with God in which I love as God loves, I have to have God's nutrients, God's power as the source of my life flowing through and in me. And so because he first loved me, I know the source of God's love, or the source of love. But number two, because he first loved me, I know the function of love. I understand how it works, what makes it actually function. See, it's difficult to operate something in life if we don't know exactly what it does, how it works. You know, we've all gotten little gadgets and things in life, and you know, you may buy a new television or you may get an iPad or something, and the first thing we want to know is what? How does the thing work? What does it do? Well, how does love work? How does it really function? Let's read on in 1 John chapter 4, picking up in verse 11 and reading through verse 13. He says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." You see, the function of love is that love reflects God. It reflects God. When we love as God has called us to love, when we love with a godly love, it is a reflection of God himself. You know, we can't see the wind, can we? But do we see the evidence of it? Absolutely. You know, because we see the wind's, through the evidence of it, we see the wind's strength and we see the wind's direction, even though we don't necessarily see the wind. You know, we've learned a lot of new things since we've moved down here to South Florida. One is that people don't wear a lot of clothes down here. We've learned that. But we've also learned that there's a lot of wind down here. Compared to Orlando, where there was hardly ever a breeze, there's wind here almost all the time, and we live fairly close to the water, and at our house we have a breeze all the time. And I can look out, and while I can't see the wind, I can see the evidence of it. And I can tell you, based on the way the palm trees are swaying, I can tell you which direction the wind is going, and I can tell you how, basically the strength of that wind, even though I can't see the wind itself. I don't see the wind, but I see the evidence of that wind. We can't see God. We physically cannot see him. John says no one has physically seen him. And yet, we can see what the love of God does in and through us each and every day. You see, that love stands as an evidence, and we can see its strength, and we can see its direction by the evidence of God through us as we love one another. You know, what we're being told literally here in 1 John is, let me back up here. There we go. What we're being told here in 1 John is that we, the church, are to be the very image of God to the world. And we do that by what? How are we the image of God to the world? That one four-letter word we've been talking about, what is it? Love. By love. That's how we are the image of God to the world. They should be able to look at us and see God. They should be able to look at us and come to know and understand God. I came across a quote a while back of Mahatma Gandhi, who was a Hindu and a leader of the Indian people. He once made this statement to a Christian religious leader. He said, "I love your Christ, but I do not love your Christians." Think about that. I love your Christ, but I do not love your Christians. And as I was reading in more about his statement, what he was saying was he loved what Christ stood for. He loved all that he heard about what Christ stood for and what Christ did. But as he looked at the way what he saw to be Christians lived and how they acted, he did not love that. And my question is, what are we reflecting to the world? Are we reflecting an appropriate image of God as a church and as individual Christians? When we're in the workplace, are we reflecting God in our lives? When we're at Little League, or at Boy Scouts, or in school, or in any other activities in our life that we might be involved in, or on Facebook, are we reflecting God through our actions and through our life? You see, the type of love that we show is going to determine how people see God or how people view God. Would the invisible God be made visible in those who are seeking him by the way that you live your life? Because if Jesus is Lord in a place, and if he is Lord among a people, then his love is going to be reflected and seen in that place and in the lives of those people. And so we have to ask, is God reflected by the love that we show? Now, I'm going to apologize to my family because they've heard this illustration or heard this story several times. But back when we lived in Tennessee, we were worshiping with a congregation in Columbia, Tennessee at the time. And in that particular county, in Murray County, there are 26 congregations of the Lord's Church in that one county. And so the church, everybody has heard of the Church of Christ there. Everybody knows, and you're almost all the time seeing people that you know in that area. And one particular day, I was, as I said, I was working with the juvenile court system at that time, and we went to Shoney's because they had a buffet, you know, and so you have to go to the buffet. So we went to Shoney's for lunch, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear this woman yelling over by the counter. And I'm like, that voice sounds really familiar. And I hear this voice, and she's just griping, and she's complaining to the manager, and she said, those beans on that buffet, they were bad. They were rancid. She said, you need to get those beans off there. And she's yelling, and I'm literally on the other side of the restaurant, and I can hear her. And I look over, and I see this woman, and yes, I know her. She's from my congregation. But what made it even better is she had a stack of papers in her arms, and on the outside was our church bulletin. Right there. Had the name and even the address right there on the bulletin. And she is griping and she's yelling. And then when she didn't get her way with the manager, she starts going from table to table to table, telling everybody, don't eat those beans, they're bad. Don't eat those beans, they're bad. Meanwhile, there's the name of our congregation right there for everybody to see. And I often think about that because while that is a big thing, you know, most of us wouldn't behave that way. But how many of us have been guilty of road rage or losing our temper at Walmart? They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love. And what are we reflecting? By the love that we show to those who are around us. Will they be able to see God's love in us? You see, how does God's love function? It functions through us. We are a reflection of that love. You can't manufacture this love, and you can't fake this love, because it is plugged into the source, God Himself. And so its source is God, and its function is that we are a reflection of that love. But then number three, because He first loved, there we go, because He first loved me, because He first loved me, I know the result of love. I know the result of love. I know what it actually does. I understand the source. I understand the function. But number three, I understand the result. Let's look at verses 16 through 18. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Here, John tells us how God's love actually functions and what the result of it there is. There are two things that God's love results in. Because he first loved us, God's love enables us to live without fear. We're able to live without fear. We don't have to be afraid. Because you see, what's the consequence of sin? Death. How many people are afraid of that? People outside of Christ live their lives fearful of death. They live their lives each and every day afraid of death. But you see, in Christ, because of God's love, we're able to live each and every day without any fear of death. Why? Because Christ conquered it. He defeated it. And because of that, we don't have to be afraid. In Genesis chapter 3, we of course have the account there of Adam and Eve, and they committed what we know as the first sin. And notice here in verses 7 through 10 what they did. It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was, what? Afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now think about this. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they were walking along in the garden, and was there any fear at all? None. They had nothing to fear. There was no death. There was no pain. There was no suffering. They were going through the garden. They were living their lives. Everything was just absolutely fine. But then they sinned, and Adam, for the first time, knew fear. He knew fear. But as you read on, what you find there is while God did offer punishment to them and to mankind as a whole, God also offered comfort to them. He provided them with clothing. He provided them with the things that they needed to survive. God today gives us more in abundance because he takes away all our ultimate fear. Because we know that no matter what happens on this earth, we have life eternal. And so while I don't think any of us necessarily want to go right this moment, we know that if we did, we have something far, far better waiting for us. So there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to be afraid of. Sin brings fear, but God's love casts out fear. So God's love enables us to live without fear, but it also enables us to love without fear. We're able to love without any fear because God ultimately is the source of that love. You know, oftentimes in counseling, and particularly in marriage or premarital counseling, I will ask people what the definition of love is. I'll say, what does love mean to you? What does it mean to love someone? And I've gotten all kinds of answers. I've gotten all kinds of responses. Some of them have been a little perplexing, to be honest with you. But you see, God hasn't left us to question what love is. God has defined it for us. The Apostle Paul tells us specifically what love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He lays out not only what love is, godly love, but how we are to love. And look what he says in verses 4 through 7. He says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And of course he goes on there. But if you look at these qualities of what love is, we could very easily at the bottom of this put, love is God. Because who did he just describe here? God himself. Why? Because God is the very source of true love. And so when we know the source and we understand the function, then we can also understand the result, and we don't have to be afraid to love. We don't have to be afraid to give that because God has given us all that we need in order to love as God loves. Which leads us to the fourth and final point, and that is that because he first loved me, I am the very evidence of God's love. Because he first loved me, I stand as the very evidence that God is love and that God loves us. In 1 John 4, beginning and picking up in verse 19, he says, we love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who hates does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You see, love is the great commandment because it is the very essence of God. It is the very essence of who God is and his nature. Love is also the motivator of the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18, Jesus says to his disciples there, go into all the world, teach the gospel to every creature. And he goes on giving that commission. But if you look at that commission that applied to them and also, I believe, applies to every disciple today, That commission is based and motivated by love. If it were not for love, would we have any motivation to teach anyone the gospel of Jesus Christ? Guess what? If it were not for love, we would not have the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the very motivator. It is the very essence. And so it is the ultimately, we stand then as an evidence of God's love. Without love, we are not and will not be like Christ. It is impossible. In 1 Corinthians 13, let's go back a few verses to the first three verses there, where he says, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Paul says, you can have all these wonderful things, but if you are missing love, you have absolutely nothing. You know, you can fill this building up to overflowing, but if there is not love in this place, there is nothing here. It is an empty shell. If without love, we have nothing. Why? Because love is God. And so love is what identifies me as a Christian. And without it, I have nothing. Because it is God's love that stands as evidence through me. You know, because he first loved me, I know the source of love. Because he first loved me, I know the function of love. I know the result of it. And because he first loved me, I am the very evidence of God's love. The message I want us to understand tonight is, I don't love God simply because he loved me first, and so therefore I have to. But I can love. I can love God. And I can love God's people, and I can love everyone in this world because he loved me first. He taught me how to love. He gave me everything that I need in order to love. And when I love, I am the very evidence of God on this earth. Tonight, let's take that home with us. The fact that we are able to love because God first loved us. Let's close in prayer. Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. Father, we thank you for sending us your Son, providing us with all that he taught here on this earth so that we can know how to love, but also with that ultimate sacrifice that gives us the ability to love. Father, we thank you for working through us and in us each and every day. And we ask for your guidance as we seek to serve you. Father, help us to love more, to love better, to love stronger. Help us to grow in an understanding of your love and in how we are to love. And Father, take us from this place. Guide us each and every day that we might live in your love, walk in your love, and share your love. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.